Thank you for coming. Let's sit for a couple of minutes and then we would like to invite you to something. Good afternoon, dear brothers and sisters and siblings, in everything that we're brothers and sisters and siblings in. A lot. There's a lot to being human, there's a lot to being born. I'm going to die, and there's a lot to being a spiritual being following a path of unfolding. So we would like to invite us all to participate in a dana ceremony right now. And you're not going to be asked to do anything that you don't want to do or don't feel comfortable doing. I'll outline how it will look and we'll say a little bit about the theme. I'm a little nervous because we've never done this before on an insight meditation retreat. Those of you not familiar with the insight meditation tradition, just to let you know, at this point in the retreat, we will normally have a dana talk, and we would let you know some very important pieces, which many in this room will have heard many, 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 many times. Some of you are new, ish, but we would tell you things about dana, and we will. But we want to do it in a particular kind of a way. So what we're going to invite you to do, us to do, we'll do it together, is that once we've given our little intro, we will all turn to face the middle of the room. And we'll leave a space in the middle of the room where we will put a cloth and it will be a kind of empty space in the middle. And we'll be in kind of like a clump around it. And we will be sitting next to someone and we'll just clock who is on our right and on our left. And if the circle ends, just find the person behind you that you would be passing something. We're going to pass something round. So we're going to establish the route first. What route, when we pass that thing around, will it go? Right? So you can just clock with the person beside you. And we will, if you don't want to enter that, I think it will be really lovely. But if for any reason you didn't want to enter it, you could be at the end of the line and around the edge. Right? We'll be passing something around. And we will chant, or you will be listening to a chant if you don't want to chant. And we will establish a ceremony together to honor this principle of dana, this cultivation of generosity, that on a practical level, it means this is the point in the retreat where everyone participating is invited to consider, what would you like to offer to the staff who have come these days and beforehand, actually, in doing all the admin? Nobody in Naroda receives any livelihood from what they do. It's amazing. That's still the case. No, beautiful. That we'll offer to the 5 staff people, the 4 that we have been serving us and 1 who has done the work behind the scenes on the way. And what would you like to offer to the teachers who also come and offer freely the teachings that we have received from our teachers right back through to the Buddha? And the ceremony can allow us to enter, in a way, enter a different channel. We're not only going to think about dana, we're going to enter as much as we can with our body. So we have found in the Friendship Inn the most like the monk's bowl that we could find. Right. So as you know, at the time, and not just at the time of the Buddha, in the early Buddhist teachings, but those that continue right through to this time, the monks and nuns are alms mendicants. They live entirely on what is offered to their bowl. They don't have a livelihood apart from that. In fact, it's not a livelihood, it's their rice and their requisites just to live. They don't handle money, in fact. And everything goes to the bowl. So you will have the chance to take the bowl, actually be given the bowl by the person beside you, and just sit with it in your hands, let the weight of it drop into your hands if you wish. Take a moment, sense that gesture, that eternal gesture of I'm open to receive what comes. I am dependent on what comes. That gesture and that eternal, I dare say, fact, not just in the Buddhist tradition, but the inevitable covenant of giving and receiving that we're intimately woven into, whether we like that or not, as human beings. For every plant, breath, and animal life, for every day there is a night, for every birth a death, for every giving to honor the giver, we must receive. And in every receiving to honor the giver, we can give and pass that gift on. Pass that gift on. So in the ceremony, we can enter into the stream, actually. Enter into the stream and stand in that place of whatever we might feel about being interdependent. Sorry. The good news is we just are. And we can choose to reject that, resist that, as human beings, as animals, or we can enter into it and learn deepen. It's not like you don't know this, we know it. We teach every child this, you know, to allow what they have to move on, to also be able to receive. But we enter into that stream. And the Buddha deliberately, some of my friends who are monks and nuns said it's very clever. It wasn't, you know, it's not just a good idea. The Buddha actually, he said, when we do this, when we live in this way, the Buddha was securing and making concrete the inevitability of reciprocity, of intimacy with all things. It's like, yes. And the way that leaves the monk or the nun or the anyone who thoroughly receives and knows they are dependent, it makes us tremble. Because it's not certain. It's not given. It's not secure. It's not got a price. It's not made into something that we know for sure when we leave. This will be, pay the bills or pay the rent or contribute to the household. So we enter into this together. So that's the idea, and then it will go around. Take your time with the bowl, we'll chant if you wish, or you can listen. Hopefully you can breathe while we do it. And as we do this practice, if you participate, what I want to offer first is just also a little bit around the practice around this. It's, you know, let's to sort of surface and acknowledge some of the formations. Remember that piece in the chant? Formations are impermanent. Sense consciousness is impermanent. Formations are not self. Formations are dukkha. The formations, let's acknowledge the formations that occur individually or collectively around this kind of thing. The kind of patterns, the kind of ways that we can feel a bit awkward around giving and receiving. Knowing for ourselves whether we're more happy to be a giver in our life, but actually to step back and actually allow something to come towards us is much harder, right? Know that for yourself. Surfacing any other of the sankharas, the formations that occur around money, and economy, and economics, and finances. Whatever they are for us, because we have inherited many of them. Of course. Necessarily so. Want to acknowledge that it's actually a very strange thing to be standing at the front here, speaking, and saying, please give me your money. That's a really strange thing to do. It's not, you know, if I look at it on that very flat level of then it's a little bit terrifying, to be honest. And strange and culturally odd. And but if we enter into our root and our vertical channel and our touching the earth and taking it a little bit out of just the context of me and mine and you and yours and what we've done here today, this week, then my feet settle. Then my heart softens. I feel a little trembly, but not in a scared way. More the tremble as I kind of undo my familiar views and sankharas and formations around money. And I enter instead this beautiful narrative with you as we enter this unusual way of doing things in Europe. Where if we wish to support this way of engaging, then it is all of our work to nourish this flower of Dana. It is all of our work to consider for ourselves, being guided as much as we can by intention, born of roots in our deepest values. What's beautiful about Dana is that we, the staff, you, and if I'm on this end, I'm, you know, I sit retreats too, so I get to play on both and all sides of the giving and receiving. It's an incredible privilege, actually. But we will never know what an individual offers. It's not like that. It's voluntary. It's intimate gesture between yourself and yourself and all that is more than you. It's a voluntary gesture. This week we've been practicing voluntary attention. Right? Knowing where we're giving our attention. Here's knowing where we're giving our offering and where it's coming from in us. Involuntary attention. Involuntary dana offering, which I can have seen in my own mind also, is when my formations come up, like I'm going to own up to some of them, because luckily they're not self, the ones I've seen in my mind. I think this one is really wearing out a little bit over the last 30 years, but I'll share it. The one that says, what's the least I can get away with giving without feeling too bad? It's not very ennobling, that one. It's got a kind of a... If I can still feel its shape, actually. It's got a kind of a... It thinks it's being clever. But it's got a kind of a... Do any of you know that one? No? Okay. Wow, it's really different in Finland. Okay, I just I'm impressed. There's the ones of, you know, and I think this is where the sankharas can wear. They wear out when they're brought into awareness and where we get to align with what we really want to make with this precious lifetime. The ones of entitlement, like I shouldn't have to offer because I've had such a hard time anyway. It's other people's turn to give in any way they will. And right. Or the pressure to do it right. But there isn't one. Or there might be in your psyche, but there really isn't one. The uncertainty when there's no price on something also, you know, how there can be a kind of shakiness, like, well, tell me, just tell me. Don't tell me. Okay, I'm just going. You know, that how do we hold that moment when something is not extracted from us? Actually, that's really beautiful. Like, it's an era where we're extracting. There's a kind of plague of extracting things. And when that's not what's leading. When our voluntary attention can be guided as best we can by our values of what we want to make in this world. And if we want to enter this ceremony, if we're willing to try it together and do it as an experiment, we can enter into the eternal story of reciprocity. Is that a strange word, or is it the same in Finnish?
Vastavuoroisuus.
Oh. We enter into that eternal story of the nature of things. Right, that as receiver, we honour not only the giver, but we honour that cycling, that streaming of our interdependence. We step into our place there. We enter an old story and we weave together and dream into the old story of the Buddha and his monks and nuns who live this tradition all the way through. We are not monks and nuns, we are lay people, but we don't receive anything for coming or for the teachings. And I know that Yuha and Sampo, their livelihood is entirely dependent, and they've decided to try to live this way, which... Really, I mean, and for myself, I also live this way, but just so it's really transparent, 35% of my income comes from working with people one-to-one, which I charge for. So you need to know that as well. So it's kind of straight, a little bit straight. We enter into an old story of the Buddha, where he invited his monks and nuns to live as alms mendicants, because that way they would go to beg for their meal and the lay people would offer their livelihood and requisites, because that allows the monk and nun to stay rooted in Dhamma, in the nature of things, to not isolate to the forest, to not just do it for themselves, to enter into that story. And in the ceremony, you're invited into a new story. You can have multiple stories. The new story of the Dharma in the West, that what we make here together is what we will make here together. And not just for this week, but if we want this to work, this way of offering, and we do, and the teachers in our tradition, we discuss it sometimes, like, does it work? Is this working, doing this in the West, or should we just say it costs X to receive teaching? I'm going, no, let's keep doing this. Let's keep doing this. There's something here that has a more eternal principle that we want to keep nourishing and flowering. Let's keep doing this. So we enter that new story, and if you want, we can enter a future story. Because when somebody asked the Buddha, how can you know the future? And he said, you can look at your actions in the present. That is what seeds the future. And if we want to make, or if we want to enter into a narrative of an economy, not that we're going to change the world by this, maybe, that's a nice idea, but that we enter into our narratives where giving and receiving is rooted in a covenant of reciprocity. And that what we make in Dharma circles will be what we leave for the next generations who come after us in this tradition. And there's many arenas in this world where people are trying to work with this. It's not just in the Dharma, right? There's a ways that this whole giving economy is something that is gaining little traction, rooted in something that is, that has dimensions, that has soul, that bonds the givers and the receivers in a web. So this is our ceremony, and shall we? Let's try it. And I want to check with my Dharma brothers if there's anything. And then you've got to let the weight drop into you. Anything you want to share, you don't have to. But.
Yeah, perhaps I will say just a few words. I think, just, you know, speaking for myself, the whole principle of Dana is, like, for me there's something really beautiful and radical to it. And I feel like it's really fundamental to how it's shaped and shaping this community. So it's like, it's a completely different way of organizing retreats here. And I really, like, I have so much love for this community, the practice community, and the way that it functions, and its beauty and strength. And I think it's, a lot of that comes from the fact that it's actually just individual people giving their time, giving their service, giving their work to make this possible, to make it possible for all of us to practice together and deepen together and and kind of see deeply into, look deeply into our experience. And there's a kind of a dimension of participation that comes from that. Like if I imagine if it was fully organized on a principle of just a commercial exchange where each person here would in fact be a customer buying a service that we would be offering, I think the whole thing would just feel very different. There would be a different quality to it. And I'm just wanting to highlight that because it's like it would be easy to miss. And also, as Catherine was saying, there's something quite countercultural to this way of organizing. It's not, as we've discovered with Sampo over the past years, it's not exactly the easiest way of trying to live one's life by organizing, like offering meditation evenings and weekends and occasionally retreats like this, and then at the same time trying to pay your rent and kind of put food on the table for a family in Sampo's case. So there's like, you know, it's practically, it's quite challenging. but we're quite committed to this. And I think the community is actually quite committed to this. So I'm really, just appreciative of that, of the commitment of the whole practice community. I don't know, as I was listening to you, Catherine, I was also, there was this sense of somehow, and we were talking about this earlier as well, how to do this, like how should we have just a Dana talk? And there was a sense of, there's so many people who've been on retreats before, and it's quite easy to get a little bit rota about the way that we talk about Dana or the way that we listen about it. And just a sense of really wanting to sanctify, actually, in some ways, that whole process. I know it can be like a big word. I wonder how it's landing for people, but that there is something really, that there's something really deep and beautiful, and something that our culture is actually quite easily blind to, or that we miss, that we don't necessarily see that easily. So part of this ceremonial experiment is to see, kind of touch in on something deeper, as you were saying, a deeper relationship of what it means to give and receive, and see that it's not just a transaction in the ordinary sense, as it would be easy to conceive. But thank you for participating in this. And I mean the whole bigger thing.
That like, wasn't like strong arming.
Something can I offer?
I didn't plan to say anything. I'll just say very briefly. I love Dana. I loved it at first sight, I could even say, when I started practicing, because it made it possible for myself to take part in retreats, in long retreats as well, that would not have been possible otherwise. And I had a lot of trouble with Dana as well. And over the years, the love has deepened and has found more dimensions, as Catherine was referring to. Especially in when one holds it, one can sense the loveliness of it, the loveliness of what Juha was talking of how it's a different way of supporting or making possible this. But also the loveliness of actually giving. And the loveliness of knowing someone receiving that gift. And the loveliness of the struggle sometimes when one wonders, how much should I give? Can I give? Ah, all of that. That there's something really lovely about it. And the loveliness of the goodness of the heart, where the struggle comes from as well. That one wants to do well. I don't think I've ever met a practitioner who did not love Dana. Even though I didn't ask him well. So even if it feels hard in some ways, or whatever our relationship is, my suggestion is to tune into its loveliness, however it presents itself.
So if you're willing to engage in a way that is meaningful for you. Dream into the stories, the loveliness, the values, the past, present, future, whatever is a meaningful way of entry. Ceremony is a way of bringing attention in community in a way that potentizes intention. It's a way of standing with our community to recognize that the stories we engage in are more than me. It's the more than me story. Let's enter. So, I already explained, should we try and do it like ants? You know? Well, we're going to build this shape together.
Will you mark the center?
Yeah, I will. Sitting, I think, is good. Thank you. Yeah. The people with chairs might make the arc around there. You'll figure it out. We'll be quite close in. And some of the black mats. You might need to move some of the time.
Ei tarvitse olla kaikkien yhdessä kehässä, voi olla niin toisten edessä myös.
Let's clear the space around the circle. Why don't we do it with hands so that you know where the circle is going to extend to? So join hands so you know when you get the ball, who it's coming from, and where it's going. And we want to be in the circle. Will you be in the circle now?
I guess I'd send it
off. Okay. We've established the choreography. Yeah, so that when we get there, it's not complicated, like, where do I put it? Yeah. Get the root. Like one of those puzzles. Yeah. You got the root? So know the two people on either of your hands, that it's going to come from one of them and go to one of them. Yeah, you know who they are? You got a hand?
Yes, yes.
And who has no hand? Who's ended up with no one?
Like, you see, everybody has two hands, then it's a circle.
So. Yeah. Okay, let's start
so
the
we'll just start it somewhere.
We'll start it somewhere and then we know when it's ended.
Oh, why don't you start?
And I'm going to put a little candle in the middle and I'll teach you a chant. And take your time with the bowl when it arrives. Enter the fantasy.